Titus chapter 3, and we're going to pick up at verse number 9, but you know, last week Titus 3 told us the things that were profitable, but tonight Titus chapter 3 is going to tell us things that are unprofitable. Titus 3 verse 8 said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Okay. But now tonight, verse 9, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight. Father, we do pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So Paul, by the Holy Ghost, instructs Titus tonight. In Titus 3 verse 9, he says, "But avoid." All right? So there are some things the believer is to avoid. Some believers tend to think that, man, we're supposed to confront everything. We're supposed to confront everything. Everything's supposed to be given an answer. I'm supposed to be able to deal with that. You know what that comes from? There's an element of pride in that. There's an element of self and pride in that. Listen, if we're really seeking the Lord's honor and glory and will, then we'll fight a battle he tells us to fight. We'll confront something when he tells us to do. But if it's everything, you know what we're wanting to do? We are wanting to make a name for ourselves. There's an element of selfish pride that's in that. Brethren, some things the Bible says you're to avoid. Don't get tangled into it. It's like, well, you know, look here. What somebody say, look, if you get in a fight with a skunk, you ain't never come out good. Think about it. You may win a fight with a skunk, but you still ain't coming out very good on that end of thing. And a lot of folks like that. You can get into a battle, brethren, with something, and you know what? You may win it, but you got to come out with stink all over you too. So there are some things to avoid. The word avoid in the dictionary means to shun, to keep at a distance from. Again, brethren, not everything is to be confronted. Some things are to be avoided. "For they will needlessly suck your time and energy." Okay? So there's some things you are to avoid because they'll just suck you in. Brethren, I'll tell you something. I'm not saying this is across the board in every case, but a lot of your boards and social media, brethren, a lot of times folks they're not looking for answers on those things. They're just looking to talk. If they were looking for answers, then when you gave them Bible, or they would look for a church to come. You know what I'm saying? They're just looking. A lot of them like controversy, or they just like, and they'll suck your energy and your time, and they can get some dangerous situations. Some things to be avoided are, what does it say first? Avoid foolish questions. Foolish questions, brethren. Some questions are foolish. Some questions are foolish. And a foolish question, usually there will be a wrong attitude behind it. When someone is earnestly, honestly seeking something, that question is not going to be foolish because they're in earnest, okay? But a foolish question will often be determined by the attitude that lies behind it, all right? Usually it's a smart alecky kind of thing, all right? What you need to do in dealing with a foolish question is this. See if the person is seeking truth or just trying to cause contention. You know what they're doing? If they're trying to cause contention, unless God gives you understanding and tells you to go ahead and answer it, the best thing to do is just avoid it. Because once again, you're getting into a wrestling match with a skunk, and it doesn't matter if you win, you're going to get stink all over you. It's not going to come out good. I'm just going to tell you. And so the Bible says avoid foolish questions. And, you know, somebody says, "Where'd God come from?" Well, and the answer to that is, well, he's always been. And if somebody says, "Well, how can..." It's just like, he has no beginning, he has no ending, God just is, okay? I mean, and let it go, there it go. Brethren, well, what if they keep coming back? Brethren, that's a foolish question. That's a foolish question. Brethren, inside of that individual Inside of that individual, according to Romans, is an understanding of his eternal power in Godhead, so that that individual is without excuse. They're just wanting trouble. Avoid it. You gave him a good enough answer there with that. Just avoid it. When somebody tries to provide ask a question of a conundrum, could God do this? You know what you do? Friend, I'm not trying to be smart with you, but that's just foolish. That question has nothing to do with anything. I'll just tell you this. With God, nothing should be impossible. Just because you can't wrap your mind around how it can be done doesn't mean with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the bottom line. Brother, so people come up with some questions. I'm not even going to bring them up because I don't want the enemy trying to mess with your mind about it. But people come up with some questions one time, some silly conundrums, right? Well, could God this or that? Wait a minute. Here's the answer. With God, nothing should be impossible. Because you operate in a world that God has fixed with certain principles and is finite, God is beyond that. The Creator is beyond His creation. God dwells in a realm with principles and things beyond our understanding. So you can't even go there. Somebody says, well, could God, with God, nothing should be impossible. That's enough. Yeah, but what about, friend, I told you that that's a foolish question. Brother Austin, if you say it's a foolish question, they'll get mad, they'll turn away. They didn't want truth anyway. They weren't wanting truth, trust me. They weren't. They're just looking to cause trouble and trying to stir up something. Brethren, don't pander to foolishness. Call it what it is with a gentle reproof. If it stems from ignorance, let's suppose somebody from ignorance ask a question that is a foolish question. If it's something saying, well, could God do? Well, you just, like, answer, well, with God, nothing should be impossible. And if they're being sincere, you say, well, look, honey, that's a question that really is not a, that kind of falls in the Bible saying a foolish question because God can do anything. And if it's just out of ignorance and you deal with it gently, you know what they'll be like? Oh, okay. You can tell that to a child. A child says that, you say, well, honey, you know, the Bible says that's kind of those questions that are foolish, and here's why. Because God is so great, and He's great in ways we don't even understand, but the Bible says, well, God, nothing should be impossible. And you want a little young to be like, okay. So you can deal with it gently. You can deal with it in the right kind of way. You deal with it with a sharp rebuke if coming from contention and scorn. You say, friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's a foolish question. I'll tell you this, with God, nothing should be impossible. God always has been. God always will be. You answer with something, and you say, and that's nothing more to add to it. And that's a foolish question. If they get mad, it's just revealing where they were at. You understand? Listen, avoid the question and deal with the real issue. If it's a foolish question, call it such. Let your delivery be according to the occasion. Did you hear me? Let your delivery be according to the occasion. God does that. With the froward, He'll show Himself froward. With the merciful, He'll show Himself. You understand? God, He deals with us according to what we give Him. Okay? You won't offend an honest truth seeker. And you never had a scorner anyway, so you can't lose what you didn't have. Do you understand that? If someone's honestly seeking truth and you answer them in truth and with the right, you're not going to lose them. They're seeking. You're not going to offend them. But brother, if it's a scorner, somebody says, you kind of rough on them just a minute there. You didn't have them anyway. You didn't have them anyway. And so, you know what they'll do? They'll just drag you in and suck your energy out and suck your time. Brethren, not everything is to be answered. Avoid foolish questions. Jesus, you know what they can, Lord, the Pharisees, what did Jesus say? Let them alone. Let them alone. Jesus said, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. Let them alone. Brother, if somebody just wanted contention, the Lord Jesus said, don't fool with them. But as you know, Proverbs says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Listen, if somebody, look, there come situations where you have to contend for the faith, in the book, like the book of Jude says. Okay, fine. But brother, there's some things, and if you'll follow the Lord, He'll show you when they're to be avoided, and they'll just suck off your energy and time, all right? And if somebody's wanting truth, that's one thing. If they're just wanting to scorn, be careful that you don't feel like you've got to answer everything. You've got to take, pride can enter in on that thing. If you'll fight the Lord's battles, the Lord's way, everything will be in perspective, okay? So avoid foolish questions. And sometimes that may mean calling it what it is. That's a foolish question. You can do it gently if they're in ignorance, like a little child. Well, honey, I'll teach you something right now. The Bible says that's kind of a question that's foolish because that doesn't really matter about anything because we know that God is and He's created. So you deal with it in the right kind of way. At the same time, letting them know what kind of question that is. If it's a scorner, you deal with it a different way. Avoid foolish questions. What do you avoid next? Genealogies. Genealogies. Genealogies is defined as pedigrees, as lineage. Here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily talking about you finding out that Uncle So-and-so came over from, Germany at some certain time. That's just interesting. That's just a factual thing. That's just an interesting kind of thing. No, brethren, it's a genealogy kind of thing that you try to put a bearing on your spiritual need or standing in Christ. See, look here. Be careful about genealogies and thinking that such a thing will have a bearing on your spiritual need or your standing in Christ. It is unprofitable when it's done with spiritual or prideful intent. You understand? Here's what I mean. If someone said, "Wow, I found out that really, you know what? I am really mainly Jewish." Okay, that's interesting, but you're still a sinner that needs to be saved by grace, and you're standing in Christ to what matters. So don't get, what's that going to do for you? You know. Or to go back and say, be careful about... See, look here. The reason I... This will sum it up. Go to Philippians 3. If you want to understand the deal about foolish genealogies, Philippians chapter 3, I think, sums up what it's talking about. Now, for us, it's no great big deal, brother, because most of us don't have a clue where we come from or how far back you go and find out. I mean, you know, really. I mean, it's, you know... A lot of times you ain't got to go too far back before you realize, woo, wow. I mean, some of our ancestors probably come across in the hold of a ship, hiding on the hold of a ship. But here we are. And what matters is our relationship to God and Christ. But as far as foolish genealogies, here's, I think, a perfect example of what it's about. Philippians 3, look at verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay, what's this? And Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, see? Those counted I loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Mainly such a thing had to do with the Jews. Thinking, my relationship to Abraham. Because Paul said, look, there were some who were bragging on, they felt like that because they had a Jewish lineage, that gave them a step up on things. Paul said, hey, I'm the tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know what? Pharisee. Meant nothing to me. I count it lost that I might win Christ. See, that's the kind of thing to where a genealogy is a dangerous thing if you're thinking it gives you a spiritual one-up on somebody. And it should be avoided. Just because you find out that Uncle So-and-so came from Germany and you thought he came from Italy and whatever, those kind of things. That's just kind of a neat kind of thing. It's kind of interesting you know, sometimes like, wow, I wonder how they did ever get over here and how they did. But brother, when you're using it as a thing of pride, you understand? Like, I come from a great people. Our brethren, most of us in here is probably mutts. I mean, we are for the most part. We probably got a little bit of this, a little bit of that in us. I mean, you know, really. I mean, and what matters is our lineage to God in Christ. Okay? And that's what matters. But so brethren, just finding out some things, that's nothing wrong with that unless you draw pride from it or unless you think it gives you a spiritual one-upmanship on someone. then that can become a dangerous thing. You know what you do? You avoid that kind of thing. Paul says, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I count it done that I may win Christ. Okay, so you avoid foolish questions, you avoid genealogies, and you avoid contentions. The word contention means strife in words or debates, quarrel, controversy. Brethren, avoid them when you can. When you can't, handle yourself correctly. But don't seek out quarrels and controversies. I don't understand why some people like that stuff. I just really don't. I don't understand it. Brethren, the only thing I can figure out why somebody likes that is they crave attention. That's the only thing I can figure it out. Because, brethren, I don't like the tension. You ever been in a room where people start quarreling? I don't like that. I don't enjoy that. Really, it's rude to everybody else. You know, it really is. Because everybody else started to feel uncomfortable. Everybody started to feel uncomfortable. And it's like, oh boy. And then other people will get heated with it because now they're feeling mad because you're acting rude like this. You got people storming. I mean, it's just not good. It's not good. But some people, I really believe, like it. I don't understand them. They're a mystery to me. The only thing I can figure out, one of the common denominators I've seen with that, it's usually an individual that likes attention. They like to get attention. They like to be the center of things, and they enjoy that. That's something messed up about that. You know what you do? You avoid it. You avoid it. Brother, you know what? If somebody's trying to be contentious, you avoid it. If it can't be avoided, you try to tell someone that, look, we need to discuss this somewhere else some of the time. It's not the place for it. It's not the place for it. This is not. Brothers, at our fair booth, I've told people before, when they've started, I've just pulled them, kind of get close. I said, come here. I said, there are people here that need the gospel. You don't agree with us, that's fine. If you want to discuss it later or whatever, fine. But not now, move along. Because you're starting to cause trouble. You're starting to cause something. That's not what we're here for. All right? And so what good it would do to, you know what, I'm going to set them straight. Well, great. We've done offended all the other vendors around us. They're going to get mad because if we stir up a controversy, people's not going to come to their booth. We're going to cost them business. We're not going to have a good relationship there with them. It's going to take become people are going to, they're going to enjoy the scene, but they're not going to take it serious. Rather than you avoid those things. You avoid those things. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What was going on? There was contentions. There was schisms. There was divisions. There was divisiveness. There was quarreling among them. It's not good. Avoid that. Don't let yourself get drawn into it. Brother, when you see something starting to turn from a casual, profitable conversation into contention, avoid it. And let somebody know, say, hey, if you want to discuss this with me, we'll set up a time where we can quietly do it together, but I'm not going to be part of something here now that's just fruitless and that's just working to no end. Okay? When you start to see something turn that kind of way, avoid that thing. Go to down to 1 Corinthians 3:31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the key. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. There we go. Bible says to avoid contentions. You know what the book says the source of contentions are? Only by pride. I've got to make my point. I cannot leave till I make my point. People have got to know that I'm no novice. I'm no rookie. I'm not wet behind the ears. I know something. I've got to make my point. I got to get the last word in. It's pride. It's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Okay? But with the well-advised is wisdom. Go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention. There's the word contention. Before it be meddled with. Avoid it before it starts. Because it's, you know what it's going to be like? It's like when you open a floodgate and you can't stop it now. It's just, you know. Let me explain something to me. Let's suppose, hey, fellas, let's suppose you're someplace and somebody's talking about something, maybe trying to draw you in, and you feel like, man, they're going to think, they're making me look like that I don't know anything. They're making me look like that I'm just a fool. They're making me look like, but yet you choose to handle it in a way with humility and meekness and avoiding it. And though the enemy would say, boy, you look bad in everybody's eyes, got a surprise for you. People whose judgment matters will look at the thing and go, you know what? I don't know if that young man knew much about the subject or not, but he got character to him. He's got a maturity in the way he handled it. And it carries way more weight. Do you understand me? You may look like, wow, man, they made me look like, you know, but yet if you handle the thing in a mature manner by your character, somebody whose judgment really matters notices that more than just the factoids the other person had. You had the character. You handled yourself in the right way. And let me tell you, you'll find, you probably already find it, but you'll find that not the loudest and not the most talkative are the ones that really have it together. Our son learned that when it was a chemistry class that Mr. Jay Schaefer taught for homeschoolers. And so we felt like it would, you know, he was set up more better for a lab and everything like that. And I forgot all the reasons we had, but he was doing it for homeschoolers. So we sent Ben to that chemistry class. First day he comes back. Daddy, I'm out of my league. I don't need to be here. Daddy, I'm out of my league. He said, this guy over here, his dad's a chemical engineer. This guy over here, his dad's, and I was going to say something. Yeah, you're right. Sure, and your dad's what? That's for sure. You know. I mean, he wasn't meaning it that way. But he said, Daddy, he goes, they're asking, they're going, la, 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 la. He goes, they're answering questions or saying these things. He says, they're so far. I said, son, stop. Stop. You're going to find out that not everybody, especially very often, the ones that are quickest to be like that are not the ones. Well, you know what? Those who just seem to have, he ended up with one of the highest averages, not maybe the second highest average in the room. And guess what? And here's the reason I'm saying that. He found out that just because somebody can quickly spout off of this or that does not mean they know everything, does not mean they're going to be studious, does not mean, it doesn't mean that. A lot of times it's masking some things, all right? And what counts very often is how you handle a matter. That's what people are looking for. Not the one that seemingly has all the answers or the one that... You ever notice somebody who was always like that? And you find out a lot of times, you know what? Nobody want to get around them. Really. And a lot of times teachers could see through it. One time... My brother-in-law said in his school there was a boy who, I don't know what had happened, but this boy raised his hand and said, Mr. So-and-so, what? They were discussing the space shuttle. That was it. It was like 1981, 82, something like that. And said, Mr. So-and-so, what happens if that space shuttle develops a problem and crashes? And he said, I don't know the boy's name, but he said, Billy Bob, there's only two people in the world that wants to see that happen, and that's you and Dan, I Love a Crisis Rather. Turn your page. That's about it. It's like, but look here, avoid contentions, all right? Avoid them. Listen, brethren, don't let yourself be drawn into pointless are unnecessary debates and arguments. You understand? Don't let yourself be drawn into pointless or unnecessary debates or arguments. Listen, let me give you a little hint. Listen, if you are sitting around a bunch of believers or others, if you have an honest question you want to ask somebody, wait till the meal's over, wait till somewhere else, and pull them aside and talk to them about it. Don't go and pop up, especially if you know there are people that have differing views on that, and say, hey, what do you think about this? Let me tell you something. I don't know why you would want to do such a thing like that. Don't do that. You know what? You may get your feelings hurt. Somebody may look at you and say, this ain't time and place for that. We'll discuss that later if you want to. Well, they were rude to me. No, you were the rude one. You shouldn't have been doing that. Listen, don't let yourself be drawn into pointless or unnecessary debates or arguments. Stop and ask yourself, is there a true cause and need here? Is there a true cause and there is a true need here? Go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Why would you want... Can you imagine? There's a dog minding its business. Can you imagine walking by somebody's house and there's a Rottweiler asleep? All right? Just sleep. All right? And can you imagine going over and going, can you imagine? Just doing that. Especially if you didn't have notice that the chain's unhooked. You know.
Self-correcting error.
Right, exactly. Well, the Bible says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him. Wow. Poor policeman. Poor policeman. Bless these poor, these precious policemen. Because you know what? They often have to meddle with strife not belonging to them. They have to. You go to a domestic situation, that's not his deal, but he has to. A complaint's been made, he's got to investigate it, he's got to go, and man, what a deal to have to go into a situation like that. Why? He has to go meddle with strife not belonging to him. It doesn't belong to him, but he has to. And it can be not a pretty thing. All right? Well, listen, unless you are deputized for it, unless you are, you know, have to do it as your job, you better be careful about messing with something that don't belong to you. You get yourself in a big fix. If you're asked to, of course. If you're trying to be, but be very careful. Okay? If it's unavoidable, if you can't avoid it, the Bible says avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions. If you can't avoid contention, then tell it like it is. Then tell it like it is. Shoot straight. Jesus did. If somebody asked him over to his house, and Lord, go eat. And if a subject got brought up, Lord's like, okay. And boom. He let it pop. So avoid contentions if you can, but if you can't, then tell it like it is. What else do you avoid? Strivings about the law. Wow. That's important. Did you know that is so relative and important to today? Strivings about the law. Brethren, avoid matters that would try to put you back under the tenets of Judaism. Things concerning ceremonial or external observances under the law. Give them Colossians 2, 16 through 23. You know, touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, those kind of things. Observing the Sabbath that we're not under that stuff. Give them that and say no more. Brethren, in fact, don't change your response until they change their advance. Listen. If somebody keeps coming at you with the same issue, give them the same response. And if they come at you again, give them the same. I mean, what I'm saying is if they're not going to change their advance, don't you change your response. And brethren, listen, to give you how this thing applies, there was a gentleman that somebody I knew had a church they were in. The pastor had written a book really about why we need to be back under the Jewish dietary laws. And I read through the thing, and I noticed one of the verses that he didn't deal with was this verse right here. Strivings about the law are to be avoided. Brethren, if you are bringing up telling somebody we need to eat as the Jews did under Leviticus, then that's something concerning the law, right? Okay? Well, based on what Paul said, then that's going to bring about a strife. Because it's like, well, that's not what the New Testament principle says. So that is bringing about a striving about the law. And that individual didn't have that quoted in the book about it. All right? That such an attitude naturally is going to bring about a conflict, a striving about the law. Avoid it when you can. When you can't, again, give them Colossians 2, 16 through 33 and move on. All right? That'll let you know when somebody's trying to put you back under those things, stay away from it. Avoid it. And what the brother should have realized is that by him bringing up such a subject, it was going to bring about strivings because of what the Pauline epistles say that we're not under that. And here's why. Here's why you avoid these things. For they are unprofitable and vain. There it is. Such things are unprofitable and vain. They are of no practical or spiritual value. Leave them alone. What is profitable? Well, look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, of these things I will that thou from constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So quite naturally, hardly anybody gets involved with them. Brethren, I want you to be honest with you. You say, don't you be honest, answer this question in your mind. May God help us all, but let's just be honest in our mind. How many Bible-believing Christians do you know are really caught up about doing good works, or rather are caught up about finding something else nobody else has seen yet? Contentions, strivings. How many Bible-believing Christians do you know have their life centered around good works in the name of Jesus Christ? Seriously. Can you imagine what could be done for the cause of Christ if Bible-believing Christians would say, oh Lord, what good works can I do in the name of Jesus Christ for those, as I said this morning and Sunday, those within my gates? How can I be a blessing like Dorcas was? What can I do, Lord, just to help somebody and do it in your name and be a blessing? What can I do? Brethren, what happens is instead it becomes a thing of seeing something nobody else has seen, something controversial, something different, something that's out there, some conviction tighter than somebody else's conviction, something. But brethren, how many people, brethren, contentions, strivings, quarrels, brethren, all these things that are unprofitable and vain. And yet that verse before told us what is profitable, yet how many people are centered around good works in the name of Jesus Christ? Brethren, Dwight L. Moody made a statement, said this world has yet to see a man totally controlled by the influence of the Holy Ghost of God. By God's grace, I determined to be that man. I want to tell you something. Brother, can you imagine if we would allow God to help us to be a church involved in, Lord, what can I do good? We've got a good God, right? Send the Son on the just, the unjust, reign on the Lord. And then, Lord, works that will back up the witness I give them, that will add weight to it. God just being good to somebody in your name. Good works. The Bible says Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. People always quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. They leave out verse 10. For good works. We're created unto good works. Brethren, that's the thing. But we're saved then to good works. Dorcas had them. The Bible speaks continually of them. What can I do to bless somebody and be a blessing to them in the name of Jesus Christ? Man, brethren, that's profitable. There's profit in that. There's profit in that. Listen. What's profitable? Verse 8. Maintaining good works and the things that were listed earlier in Titus 2 and all the way down to chapter 3 about things that the elderly women, the elderly men, the young women, the servants, those kind of things, and then summing it up by involving ourselves with good works. In fact, the Bible says the Lord procured to himself, he redeemed us from all iniquity and procured unto himself a people that were supposed to be zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. By the grace of God, thinking, how can I bless somebody? How can I be an encouragement and help to somebody and do something for them in the name of Jesus Christ? It'll add some weight to some things. Put a lot of weight behind it. That's what the Bible says. And it's profitable. It's profitable here. It's profitable on the other side. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Well, Father, we have no excuse. Lord, your word has shown us the things that are unprofitable. And help us, Father, to realize that the things we've looked at tonight are to be avoided. They're not profitable. They're vain. Oh, Lord, they may tickle our fancy and our pride. And they make us feel good about ourselves. And we can even pretend we're great defenders of the faith. But, Lord, if we're not in them for the right reason, because, Lord, we're following your will and such things have been thrust in our path. Lord, if we're just seeking these kind of things, contentious and Lord, strifes of words and genealogies and foolish questions, and, Lord, just to satisfy our own pride, there's no profit in that. Father, help us to see where profit really is. Help us to see where the emphasis ought to be. And, Lord, help us to be a people that truly indeed are zealous of good works in your name. And, Father, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that I pray and ask this. Amen.